Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Is that his answer?
Oh, yeah. That works. That
works.
Oh, yeah.
People make mistakes.
People make mistakes at certain times, at certain quizzes. It's fine.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
This is Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Delighted to say Catherine Dane is with us. Catherine, how are you?
I'm the very best. Thanks for having me.
25-all draw in fairly dramatic circumstances. You guys were celebrating like it was a win at the end.
Absolutely. I think when we went down by that scoreline so early on in the game, we were thinking, gosh, how are we going to pair this back? But I think after Lucy Thompson's try in the corner, it was so dramatic. It was incredible. We were really happy just to claw back that draw in the end. I think we were a bit disappointed in our overall performance. We probably would have like to have beat Connacht, but just the way the game went, we were happy to take the draw.
Yeah, sometimes when you do get out of jail like that, it's actually better than a victory because you can be a bit complacent after a win, whereas actually with this you get the whole analysis of why the hell were we so far in a hole anyway, but you still get the absolute adrenaline rush of coming back the way you did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's testament to the younger girls and the impact of our bench that came on and actually finished out that game and we stayed persistent all the way to the end, which is huge considering the scoreline.
Yeah, the impact from the bench was definitely something I noticed. And even when you think back to last season and getting those wins, how important that was for the growth and the rise of Ulster rugby.
Absolutely. The depth that we have in the squad now is huge and the youth that is coming through thanks to those performance pathways. We are seeing girls that are able to perform at that top level. And I think Stacey Sloan came off the bench, scored the try and just incredible. You know, we just have that impact.
What are those performance pathways? What does that look like?
So I suppose there's under 18, under 16 interprovincial pathways. And then Ireland now have their, NTS, National Talent Squad.
That's right,
system.
Yeah.
So they have that and their under 20s, Six Nation squads and things like that. So they have access to kind of top level coaching and resources now, which is just setting the platform for better senior rugby.
Yeah, it's great to see. And when you think of the girls that are playing, say, with Ireland with the 20s, you have the senior setup, the contracted players, all of that too. What is that blend like? Because you have girls coming in and out and it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it is different. We have girls like Brittany Hogan, Sophie Barrett, Sive McGrath, Fiona Chute, India Daly that are training with the Ireland programme kind of during the week. And we don't have them on the Tuesday night for training. But when they come in on the Thursday, it's all guns blazing. Luckily, we've had enough access to them throughout the interpros to know, okay, this is the standard that we're training at on a Tuesday night. And then when they come in on a Thursday, it doesn't really upset things. It's actually that extra bit of energy, bit of oomph. The likes of Sophie Barrett performing so well in that under-26 Nations Championship. I think she was MVP or something.
Brilliant.
She's just an absolute asset to have in the squad. And I think that is where we're reaping the rewards of those performance pathways and the actual S&C and actual support that these young girls are getting on their way up to senior rugby is paying off.
Presumably that's a very different pathway than you would have had even 7, 8, 9 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I came through the under 18 sevens system and again it was kind of you've got one competition in Sweden one weekend in the summer and we'll train you down in DCU once every other week.
Right.
And you know, if you want to do the gym you can. If you don't, you don't have to. And it was very different. The strength and conditioning was non-existent then. And I think the transition to All-Ireland rugby then with Old Belvedere and transitioning to senior rugby with Ulster and Ireland was a huge step up. Whereas now these girls have bigger training ages than some of the senior players that are playing at the moment, which is great. It's great to see.
Mm. Brittany Hogan is one of those players that I think has really benefited. She is just phenomenal in her performances with Ireland and now we're seeing it again with Ulster. But the difference, I think, from being in there in that setup, in a contracted setup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brittany's a year or two younger than me and I remember starting out at senior Ulster with her. Maybe it was under 18s. And again, I think she came from hockey, so she had no rugby background at all. And her trajectory has been absolutely massive. Just that access to quality S&C, quality coaching. It's amazing, the sky's the limit. And we haven't even... I think I was at a research conference recently and... the best athletes in the world, we haven't even seen them yet because women haven't been given that opportunity to get there. But we're starting to see it now in Ireland, thankfully, and Brittany Hogan played a blinder at the weekend. It was amazing.
Was coaching totally different, say, when you were growing up to what it might be now for girls that are up and coming in the rugby world in Ireland?
I say it's
maybe
different.
What you learn in, like, I don't know, tackles, like different things. Or is it taught a little bit different now?
I think rugby, probably much like many other sports, was guilty of, oh, we've always done it this way, we'll coach this way, and this is the way we've coached the boys and the men, and it works for them because they've been playing mini rugby. Whereas I think we're starting to realise in the last 5-10 years that, okay, women don't have the same training ages, and we have an amazing athlete coming in from GA that has never touched a rugby ball before. We have to do things a little bit differently. And I think that's where the quality coaching I talk about is just we're being a bit more nuanced, and we're tailoring our coaching to better suit the women that we're supporting.
Mm-hmm. So if you do minis, you learn very early on to get your head out of the way and not get kicked in the face. Whereas if you've come from GA, you know, the odd occasional kick in the face is kind of par for the course, and sometimes you're dishing it out.
Yeah.
So trying to avoid that is one of those things. That obviously takes time, but it does feel as if there's a surge towards women playing rugby off the back of the success of the Sevens and how transferable the skills are. So are there enough coaches, do you think, to attract people and make them feel confident that they are getting the coaching that they need? Or is that kind of the next big recruitment drive that needs to happen, where you do get good quality coaches into the women's game?
I think there's already some really quality coaches out there. We're very lucky at Ulster. We have Murray Houston, Neil Alcorn, Erica Sullivan, a few really, really, and Grace Davitt, really good coaches. They are there. I think we just need to better support them and give them the tools and resources that they need to better support their women. I think in terms of the education piece, around how do we tailor training to better suit women, I don't think it's necessarily a physiological or physical thing. It's more the social. How do we cater this to women? Because there's a lot of women that play rugby off the back of watching the Sevens, because they see the connections and the camaraderie and the really beautiful part of the sport, that don't necessarily want the aggression and the injuries and the other stuff that comes with it. So.
Yeah.
It's catering to your players.
Was it always your intention to become a 15s player when you were playing Sevens, or was Sevens kind of the introduction and, like, you would have been happy being a Sevens player forever?
Oh gosh, no. I don't know if you've ever watched me play, but I'm not an athlete at all. I wasn't built for Sevens at all. I was just lucky that I was quite skillful. I could throw a pass kind of 15 metres and put somebody away on the wing. That was my skill at under 18 Sevens.
So you always wanted to play 15s?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but unfortunately there wasn't any kind of pathway at that time to play 15s. It was, oh, we have an Ireland Sevens underage programme.
Right.
Anybody good enough, do you want to come play? And that was what got me in. But I knew immediately that I needed to get myself to Dublin for college and play for Old Belvedere and go up the ranks and play 15s that way.
And do we use college as a way of getting people into the sport? Because obviously, in the men's side, the schools is the be-all and end-all until you either make it or you don't make it to the academy. And it always felt like there was a missing link there for... And some people have actually come through the AIL who actually go to college for 2 or 3 years. In the men's side, I'm talking about specifically here. And it generally tends to be forwards and frequently props as well, who are slightly a year or two behind where they need to be. Do we use the colleges in the women's game in a more articulate way to try and keep people in the system?
I think it is something that they're starting to use. They're utilising I think it's a university or a varsity sevens competition now. There was an international varsity sevens comp a few months ago. And I know some of the colleges like UCD, Limerick, DCU, that they have very strong, and Trinity have very strong women's rugby teams. I suppose it's just making sure that they have enough exposure to rugby throughout the season to build.
On a personal level, that was your first home game at Kingspan, competitive fixture since your recovery from your brain hemorrhage. Is this an emotional thing for you? Have you parked it totally? How are you dealing with all that?
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of always at the back of my mind. I'm always very grateful. I don't think I'd played at Kingspan since 2019 or 2022 for Ireland, 2019 for Ulster. So being able to run out was really, really special. I think we've been training there the last few months, so I knew the pitch, but it was a big moment for me, big milestone. I do get emotional, but more so grateful. I think, like, oh, tap on the back, well done you for persevering and getting there.
It must have seemed very far away at various stages.
Oh my gosh, yeah, yeah. I think I was asked last week, do you know, if somebody told you you'd be running out in Kingspan 18 months from this, what would you say? And I said I would be laughing because I was in such a dark place for a long time. I think for like the first 6 months, I was very unwell. So I think I've persevered very well.
I presume that's a combination, not just of physical unwell, but also just the mental difficulties of like, why did this happen to me? How do I recover from this? What does the future look like? All these things that come into sharp relief when something like that happens to you.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, mine's a really extreme case of a brain hemorrhage, but it happens to athletes all the time when they have, you know, big knee injuries or that need reconstruction, those sort of things. Like, you do question your identity. And for so long, I've been Catherine Dane, the rugby player. And suddenly when that's in flames, you think, gosh, well, who am I really? And you're going through that identity battle of who can I become now that I don't have rugby? So that was out of the equation for a long time. And I was lucky to have the psychological supports to remind me, okay, you can add value in other parts of life. You don't have to be Catherine Dane, the rugby player, which is really huge for me. And I think for other athletes that have been through longer term injuries, that's where the biggest wins are.
How has your life changed since going through something traumatic like that?
How has it changed? I am definitely more present. I try to be a lot more in the moment. So even when I was getting a little bit emotional about running out to the pitch with my teammates and leading the girls out and leading my cousin out, I had my cousin as a mascot there at the weekend. Oscar, he's 8 years old, and little Grace as well. I kind of sat with those emotions a bit more, whereas the Catherine Dane of before would have been like, okay, next job mentality, really disciplined. Okay, next thing, like, I really didn't let emotions or let gratitude come into what I was doing. Whereas I have a lot more joy in all the little bits of training and the taste of blood in your throat when you're doing those horrible conditioning sessions. I think, okay, that's amazing that I'm here and I'm, aren't I lucky that I'm able to do it? So that's probably the only change.
And is that with the, I suppose, the help that you get after, the support you get afterwards, that the mental side of things, trying to get back there, trying to get back to that place where you're playing again, is that all the support that maybe you went through?
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely down to all the psychological support and even the physical supports that I had too. There's a big element of that holistic care and making sure that I got the support I needed throughout the process. I think, honestly, reflecting back, 80% of me getting back on the rugby pitch was probably the psychological battle as opposed to the physical thing. And I really do count my blessings every day that I have been able to recover to such a high level of physical performance, because a lot of people in my position don't. And similarly for musculoskeletal injuries, like they don't always get back to that elite level. So yeah, I just very, very lucky. And smiling.
Pardon my ignorance in this question, but were those psychological supports offered to you because you were somebody who had gone through a brain hemorrhage, or were they offered to you because you were a high performing rugby player? Do you know what I mean? Was it separate to, would anybody in the NHS, for example, have had that? Or was it something specific to you being an Ireland player?
Oh, I think every young person that goes through a stroke in the NHS or in the South, they get offered psychological supports,
right,
for sure. It's kind of one of the big rocks of recovery, and especially as a younger person. So thankfully I had that. And yes, I did have the pre-existing supports thanks to like Rugby Players Ireland with Tackle Your Feelings, and
right,
we had therapeutic help that way. And then through Ireland as well, we had psychological supports through their own kind of discipline there.
Because it just sounds really interesting. There was a conversation that was had with Rhys McClenaghan where he was asked about, you know, watching the rest of the athletes, the gymnasts in particular, and how there's been a change quite recently in female gymnastics where they're enjoying it more, where the atmosphere has completely changed from the next job, I must kill everything, I must break this, to I'm actually going to enjoy this, because if I don't, then what's the point of it?
Yeah.
And it seems like that's kind of a revolution in sport, that even Andy Farrell's Ireland seems to enjoy things a bit more. The families are around in a way that previous management structures might have been a bit more Spartan. Would you have come to that conclusion anyway about life?
I don't know. If I hadn't had the stroke, maybe not. I was very much that kind of game face, the nine, that kind of, I was the the operator on the pitch, and I had to stay in the moment and not let things come in. Like, I would have celebrated victories and celebrated performing well, but now I play with a smile on my face, and if there's family around, I, even if I am kind of in game mode on the pitch, I'll kind of have a look and, you know, have a smile.
Because it turns out they're not in competition, are they? Whereas previously you would have assumed that the brain only has a certain amount of room, but that's not true at all.
No. And that is the beautiful thing of Andy Farrell's approach with Ireland. You see the families on the pitch, and you see through thick and thin, they're there at the end of matches and things. And I think other countries have nailed it a bit more before us, like the likes of the New Zealand rugby. Like, they play with a smile on their face, and they dance and they have fun, and even the kind of work up to matches as well. The Black Ferns women, I think they dance and they have a bit of music and things leading into matches, as opposed to that Irish mentality of, okay, like, you better be focusing now, and you can't make time for that.
This should be joyless. Whatever we're doing, we should sacrifice for this. No crack.
That's not why we play sport.
No, exactly.
Yeah, surely if you're happy, you're going to play your better sport. I always think it's going to, you know, transfer onto the pitch.
Mm.
For you, why was it important to get back to sport?
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I didn't, when I was recovering, and I kind of came to terms with, okay, your identity isn't tied up with rugby completely. I thought, okay, like, you don't have to go back and play rugby, but because I was getting the support through the IRFU, and I was getting my hands on the ball again, and the connections with the girls, and it's the little high fives and the pats on the back and the, oh yeah, keep going, or you've done a nice grubber kick and set up a nice try or something. That's the bit that I live for. I love that joy that comes with the kind of mastery of the skill and the camaraderie that you have around it. I couldn't go back to an individual sport. I think people were like, oh, well, like, why don't you try CrossFit, or why don't you try running? And that would be my worst nightmare. I might get into it someday, but I need the people around me, and that connection piece from rugby is...
Yeah, it's an incredible story, Catherine, to get back to the level that you're playing at, and to be able to enjoy days like the weekend at Kingspan. What's your hope for the rest of the competition now? Because it's pretty intense.
It's pretty intense. I mean, Munster did a job on Leinster last weekend. So it's all up to play for. We are really hoping, we're trying to push for that for a second final. So we're hoping that we can put a performance against Leinster this weekend at home. We have to fix our little bits of detail and try and maintain that focus a little bit longer and a bit earlier in the game to hold Leinster out. They've got a lot of threats and a lot of girls that I would have played with and against over the years. So we know them all too well. We'll do our homework, but we'll try and just keep pushing on for Saturday.
And the fact that all of the provinces are competitive, which is great to see this year.
Yeah. Honestly, anything could happen.
Yeah, it's wide open.
Yeah, it is. And hopefully it's good to watch as well.
Absolutely. Listen,
we wish you the very best of luck with everything, whatever's coming for the rest of the season. I mean, it's important, obviously, but your recovery has been spectacular. So thanks a million for sharing it again with us.
Thank you.